Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right. From MLB.com, now that we got the right number, Todd Zalecki is with us. Hi, Todd.
Hey, Angelo. How are you?
We just woke somebody else up. We had the wrong number, Todd.
Oh, you did?
We've only called you every day for the last 7 years. All right, Todd, let's start with this. Obviously, the big story is Machado.
Right.
How close were the Phillies?
I think they were close enough in that they were probably that runner-up team.
Bob Nightingale, you know Bob. Bob said that the Brewers had the second strongest.
So then, if he says it was the Brewers, then the Phillies then were number three. I think they were close enough to legitimately be in this thing, but in the end, I don't think that they were willing to kind of go that extra mile that the Brewers were willing to go, and then obviously the Dodgers were willing to go, because I think the Phillies look at themselves as being in a different situation than the Dodgers and the Brewers. But they did make a run at it. But in the end, I just don't think that they were willing to give up everything that Baltimore wanted, and they wanted a lot.
All right, hold on. When you say a different situation, you're saying the Phillies front office determined that they had less of a likelihood of being able to turn Machado into a championship, that it wasn't enough. They still needed more. It wasn't worth losing the future by doing that deal now. Is that what you're saying, Todd?
I think that's part of it. I think part of it is that they feel that they are at the beginning of a run, kind of like maybe the 2006, 2007 Phillies, and they have many years ahead of them, whereas the Dodgers are in more of a win-now mode. Like they, you know, Clayton Kershaw could opt out of his contract. You know, that's not a young team like the Phillies. The Brewers, I think, as a small market team, they almost have to go, whenever they have an opportunity to go to the playoffs, they almost have to go out and get that big player, because they know, you know, if a guy's a free agent after the season, he's probably not going to resign in Milwaukee. Whereas I think the Phillies, they see themselves as, we have a ton of money to spend. We've got a deep farm system. So far so good this season. We can make other upgrades without giving up our top prospects and setting us up for the long term.
All right. Now, the way we get this, tell me if I'm reading this wrong. Mm. If Matt Klentak says, yes, I will include Sixto Sanchez, our best pitching prospect, in a deal for Machado, would the Phillies have won this battle?
I can't say for certain. I saw that the Dodgers, I think the number was five prospects.
Yeah.
That's a big number. Now, how good all of those guys are, I don't know. But certainly, I think if the Phillies had offered Sixto Sanchez, I think they would have been right there. Maybe the Dodgers would have wanted one more. I don't know the Orioles wanted. But yes, Sixto Sanchez is regarded as one of the top pitching prospects in all of baseball. Any scout that talks to him goes, oh my gosh, this guy throws 100 and he can throw it for strikes. He's going to be a stud for sure. And I think the Phillies see the same things. And for that reason, they were reluctant to give it up for 2.5 months of Machado, because, Angel, quite frankly, I look at it and you've seen this team play. I don't know if this team is one player away from winning the World Series.
Right. Here's the problem I got. I'm running, and I probably wouldn't have done it either, Todd. All right, I probably wouldn't have, because of what you just said. They're probably not ready yet anyway. But how am I supposed to have faith in the evaluative abilities of Klentak and his staff when those same people told me, when they had any player they wanted 2 years ago in the amateur draft, they could have any player, college or high school, and they ended up with Mickey Moniak, who stinks.
Yeah.
Do I now, I'm supposed to have faith that Sanchez is going to be the next Nola by the same people that so swung and missed with Moniak? That's where my problem comes in. I don't have faith in their ability to evaluate a young talent.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Mickey Moniak is not.
He's a disaster.
Hugely disappointing. Now, the guy that they drafted last season, Adam Haseley.
Much better.
much better. He just got promoted to Double A. He looks like he could be the real deal.
But he's a college kid, right, Todd?
He was a college kid, yeah. Now, the thing with Mickey, I mean, not to dig deep into Mickey Moniak, the Phillies basically selected a player that was probably not the number one overall talent. They wanted to sign him for a little bit less, to give them a little bit more money to find a quote-unquote first-round talent and overpay him in the second round so they could quote-unquote get two first-round talents. Now, it turns out that appears to be backfiring.
Oh, yeah. All right. Anyway, let me get to some of the other stuff that happened. First, what did you think of the commissioner fingering Mike Trout and saying he's not allowing us to maximize his marketing ability because he doesn't want to participate in all this stuff? Did you think that was a smart move to make against your best player?
Yeah, that was a little strange. You know, I mean, Mike Trout, you know, he's not the most he's obviously a great talent, and the Phillies would be thrilled to get him at some point. But you know, he's not, I guess, he's kind of got some Chase Utley in him, you know, which is not totally surprising because he said Chase was his favorite player growing up. You know, he's not that super energetic, bubbly type of personality. And I guess, you know, but then again, Derek Jeter wasn't either. Of course, Derek Jeter played in New York. But it is a little. Yeah, exactly. That as well. Yeah, Mike Trout's more of a just, you know, he goes to Eagles games, he goes hunting and fishing, and he's married to a normal girl. So, you know, I guess that's not as exciting.
But he does a lot of stuff. He seems like a great guy. You've interviewed him, right, Todd?
Yeah, I interviewed him at a Philadelphia sportswriters banquet several years ago.
Nice guy?
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Isn't he a good guy to represent the sports in this day and age, that you got a guy who's a quality guy and he's cooperative with people? He's a terrific. He's a great role model. Why isn't that good enough?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting that it seems for whatever reason, you know, NBA stars, even NFL stars seem to do better on the national stage right now than baseball players. And I think Jeter was probably the only one, you know, over the years recently that could maybe match some of those guys. But it seems to be LeBron, Steph Curry, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Carson Wentz is probably a bigger deal, you know, nationally than Mike Trout. And I'm not sure why that is.
All right, let me get to a game ended at 11:57. It was 10 innings, 10 homers, 25 strikeouts. Yeah. More than half the people behind home plate had left before the 10th inning of one of the marquee games in the sport. They're not really addressing the problems in baseball right now, are they, Todd?
Yeah, you know, you said 10 home runs.
I tweeted this out. Guys, look at this photo. This is a blatant indictment, an indictment of the sport, that more than half the people who paid huge money to be behind home plate didn't even stay for the exciting conclusion.
You know what I wonder? I wonder what the Metro situation was there.
Because I would walk home to see the final pitch of the All-Star when I paid $1,000. They paid $1,000 for those tickets.
Whoa. Yeah, I would love to know what the Metro said. I've seen the announcement go up in the eighth inning of games going, the Metro is shutting down at 10:30, so if you took the Metro here, you know, you better leave now, because and fans are stuck between a rock and a hard place. But yeah, certainly, Angela, you know, the 10 home runs, the 25 strikeouts, you know, the inaction in the game, you know, the walks, the strikeouts, you know, it would be great if that could change somehow. I don't know what the answer is in terms of the walks and strikeouts, but I would love to see the ball in play more. That's kind of the Phillies' issue right now, offensively.
Sure is.
They walk a lot, they strike out a ton, and they don't put the ball in play. And that's why they were looking for somebody like Manny Machado. And that's why now they're going to be looking for someone like Mike Moustakas or Eduardo Escobar or somebody else to help improve this lineup.
Hey, Todd, this is the bottom line on it, and I'm not going to lie about my motives here. In L.A., the game ended at 8:57, all right? In L.A., it was fine. There was not a problem. L.A. always gets all the breaks. If you, Todd Zalecki, top baseball journalist, had your pick to cover the Dodgers or to cover the Phillies, who would you select?
I actually would cover the Phillies. I love Philly, and I love the East Coast, and I just love the energy here and the fact that people, you know, my Twitter feed goes bonkers over days like this, you know, and I just think Philly, you know, I've heard a lot of players say, like, Philly's such a great place to win, blah, 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 but then they go play somewhere else, and then they say, no, this really is the place you want to be when they win. I mean, it's a special place when, you know, we saw it this year in the Super Bowl, and then we saw it in 2008 when the Phillies won the World Series.
Are we closer to Wisconsin?
Yeah, that too.
Forget that. Todd Zielecki just said to L.A., go to hell. One last one, Todd. This is a big one for the fans. Now what? No Machado. What are they going to do?
I think they are going to still look for offensive help. I think you can't get this far, Angelo, and then not do anything.
Okay.
So I mentioned Mike Moustakas, Royals third baseman, Eduardo Escobar. He plays third base for the Twins. He can also play a little bit of shortstop. Zach Britton, the Orioles closer. I think if they can't get that superstar offensive bat, which they won't now,
right.
I think they're going to kind of maybe do what Pat Gillick used to say. If you can't make the big improvement, make an incremental one. Remember, in 2008, they missed out on CC Sabathia. They went out and got Joe Blanton. Joe Blanton didn't excite anybody in town.
No.
But Joe still stabilized that rotation and helped him get to the playoffs. So I think Britton could help the bullpen. Moustakas or Escobar or somebody else could help the offense. Maybe they get even another bullpen arm, Jay Happ maybe in the rotation. So I think they're going to do something to make up for the fact that they can't add that big impact bat.
All right, Todd, I'm going to have to let you go now because you just did a tribute to Joe Blanton. There's no place for that on this show. Read him at MLB.com. Todd Zielecki. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
So there you have it, Al. Moustakas, Escobar, Britton, maybe J-Hap.
Britton would be nice.
Can I be honest with you? None of that's exciting me.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.